Hello and welcome to the Magical Midlife Podcast, where you get a refreshing, uplifting and optimistic perspective on life in your 40s and 50s. I'm your host, Lindsay DeSwart, and I'm delighted that you've joined us here today. So let's jump right in. Today's episode is with Masako Kazuwa, who is a podcasting friend of mine and a meditation teacher. And I think you're going to really enjoy the episode. She has done some really courageous moves in her life and faced with what we're all facing at the moment, tapping into a little bit of another sister's courage, I think is a really worthwhile chat to listen to. So I hope you enjoy the episode. I loved catching up with her and have a listen and see what you think.
Masako, welcome, welcome. It's so nice to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on, Lindsay.
My pleasure. So what I would love to hear about today and to share with everybody listening is we are in this funny theme at the moment, and you are a perfect example of taking the steps that we all need to take right now. And so I would love for you to share your story and the theme that we're currently in, which I'm podcasting about and emailing about and social mediaing about, is this whole idea of having no idea what the next step is. No path to follow. The world ahead of us is looking very unknown. And a lot of us who've led quite normal, forward, kind of driven, structured lives do not know what to do with this.
Yeah.
So for the years I've known you, you constantly inspire me because you show so many examples of just making a brave leap and taking the next step. So would you be happy to share that with us and about the things that you have to think about and consider, and then what happens afterwards? Because you've completed so many of these steps.
Well, thank you so much for your kind words. Yes, it's not like I thought that's what I was doing, taking a leap, but it's been part of my life, big part of my life, taking a leap into the unknown and doing something I've never done. It started out when I was in my, I guess, teenage years. I wanted to study abroad. I wanted to live elsewhere. And I wanted to learn a new language. I wanted to be fluent in a second language. That was like a strong desire that I had growing up in Japan. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the opportunity came in, I just took it. And at age 21, I found myself leaving my own country where my family lives and landing in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, the United States.
Oh, okay. Why there? What was special about there?
Oh, there was a reason. My hometown and Marquette, Michigan are sister cities.
Oh,
and
really?
Yes. State of Michigan and my home prefecture, Shiga Prefecture, are sister states. So each city had a sister city agreement. And so happened to be there is a Northern Michigan University in Marquette, Michigan. And that university supplied a scholarship to one student every year from my hometown. So when I was a junior in college in Japan, I thought, okay, I'm just going to apply. Yeah. And I hope I'll get it. And I can study abroad for free for a year.
Cool.
So that's how I got to the United States. And I was supposed to leave after 1 year and go back to the school that I was attending in Japan. But 6 months into that journey of just living in a foreign country, I barely spoke English at that time. It was like a challenging thing to jump into a college class when you barely understand the language. But
yeah,
I did that and it was very difficult. And at the same time, it was exhilarating. I was seeing my upper limit every single day. Like, this is my limit. This is the as much as I can understand or do. And then stretching that upper limit, like every single day, like, oh, I can do this now. I can understand this now. And that was so exciting to me.
Yeah.
So yes, it took a lot of hard work, but at the same time, it was so rewarding that I could not think of going back to what I used to, what I used to know, how I used to live back in Japan.
Right.
Because I've already experienced it.
Yeah.
Why do I repeat the same experience over and over? There's no like juice left in that gum. I chewed it for like years.
For a lovely American analogy, there you go.
When you can chew the new, you know, pack of gum with different flavors, I mean, that's more delicious than chewing the same gum for like 2 years. Or
yeah, fair enough.
You know?
So did you manage to finish your university years in the States?
I did. Yes, right. I did. I declared my major in speech communication. And I was originally wanting to become a flight attendant at that time.
Right.
So that I can travel around. And I thought, well, in Asian culture, that is a very respected occupation, for especially for women.
Okay.
And that was one of my dreams. And one day I was talking to my advisor and he was so puzzled because in the United States, flight attendant is not exactly like a privileged occupation,
right,
that
yeah,
like most ladies like would dream about.
Yeah.
So he was like, you have a great GPA. You've got great grades. Like, why don't you go to graduate school instead? And so I did.
Oh, okay. Right. And what did you take? What did you do?
I got a master's degree in psychology.
Wow. Okay.
And between undergraduate and graduate school, I actually got married.
Holy cow. Speaking of launching yourself into the unknown.
No. Looking back, that was, I just got to, you know, Northern Michigan at age 21 and I met somebody. And yeah, after 2-3 years, we were married. And that was something I never thought that I would do.
Right.
But at the same time, I was inspired to take the path into the unknown. And that's what I did. And we moved around because of his job. And yeah, I was 23 when I first got married.
Wow. Okay. And then once you'd finished your master's, and then what was the next step for you?
The next step was I tried to look for a job in that field, but we were living in certain areas because of my ex-husband's job. That was not really ideal for my career field.
Okay.
And so I looked around and I just had odd like office jobs for a few years. And then finally, he got out of the military. And we were able to move to wherever we wanted to live. And I always wanted to live in a big city. So we moved to Chicago, Illinois. And that's where we lived for many years, like 16, 17 years until like 2 years ago. And I got into legal industry.
Right.
Only because they were looking for somebody who can speak and write Japanese.
Okay.
I never had an interest in laws or getting into legal industry, but that was just what was available. And I thought, well, I can work in a nice office in downtown. That was also like one of the things I wanted to do. I wanted to live in downtown in a high rise. I also wanted to work in a fancy office in downtown.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I didn't specify what exactly I'll be doing, but I just had that image of me working in a nice office in downtown. So that came true. And
fantastic.
I stayed in the legal industry for 15 years. Started out with the immigration law. I only did that for a year, and then somehow got into patent law, intellectual property law.
Yeah.
And I spent like about 14 years in that industry.
Oh my goodness. And so within that time, did you have like a career path planned out?
No.
No. Oh, okay.
No, it was just like working in the legal industry was good in many ways. I liked it. But at the same time, I wanted to do something a little more creative.
Yeah.
So before I wanted to become a flight attendant, I wanted to become an artist. Like at age 5, 6, 7 years old, like I was into drawing. I knew that's what I wanted to do with my life.
Right.
But my parents being good Asian parents, so to speak, they're like, what are you talking about? Like, get good grades, get into good schools, and get a stable job, like working for government or something. Even though I didn't have any interest in the stable jobs, I wanted to please my parents.
Right.
I wanted them to be proud of myself. And so I listened to them. I was very obedient.
Yeah.
So
what age or when within your journey did you find meditation? Because meditation
that's fairly
has been
recent.
Life-changing, hasn't it, for you?
Yes. Oh my gosh. It's been the biggest game changer in my life. I found it like 7, 8 years ago.
Right.
So I'm 47 now, so about age 40. And I went through a divorce.
Right.
We were married for 12 years and we had a child, one child from that marriage. And the marriage was very challenging. That was one of my soul contracts. Looking back, I can see it now. But what did I know back then?
Fair enough. And so what part did meditation play for you?
It was about like 2 years after I got divorced. Our daughter was still young. She was like 2, 3, 4 years old. I was working full-time in legal industry. I was exhausted physically, mentally, emotionally. My physical health went down.
In what way?
My period stopped. My cycle stopped.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was very concerning because it was always regular.
Yeah.
And then I had like digestive problems and I just did not have enough energy to go through a day.
Right.
I still had to, you know, get my daughter ready and then get to work and then do the work and then come home and then take care of everything. And I could not focus at work either. So I tried a bunch of different things to improve my physical health. So I looked into the biohacking things.
Oh, yeah.
And I started, you know, implementing those changes. And a lot of people that I listened to in the biohacking field were speaking highly of meditation and mindfulness practice.
Okay.
And
Just in case anybody doesn't know about biohacking, can you just explain a little bit about what that is?
Biohacking is like understanding how your body works, brain works, and taking advantage of your brain. Or I'm not sure if I'm explaining it this well. There are certain things that you can do to manipulate your brain, or you can use certain type of food or herbs or supplements to enhance your performance.
Okay. Oh, wow. Whoever came up with the word biohacking was a marketing genius, weren't they? It's basically like combining so many different techniques and diet and supplements and practices and daily mantras and rituals and give it a name of biohacking and we're all good. We've got a whole new industry.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, cool. So that's biohacking. So you started doing that and that's how you found out about meditation.
Yes.
Okay.
I never was into spirituality. I was working in downtown, you know, Chicago, working in a legal office. So I was like so far away from the spiritual community, so to speak. And I just wanted to see if it would work.
Right.
And I didn't know how to meditate. Yeah. I just tried to do it on my own at first. And I looked for guided meditations on YouTube. And I found some that I liked. I listened to it. And it was not like an overnight change or process.
Right.
It was like maybe like a few months later after doing it every day, I would like notice like, wait, is this one of the benefits of doing meditation?
Oh, really? What sort of benefits? What did you notice?
Like, for example, maybe in the situations that I would have reacted in certain ways before, prior to meditation, now I had this mental space where I could think, like stop and then think and examine what I was feeling and how I am going to respond from there.
Oh, wow.
It was like a mental bandwidth I never had was there. And when I noticed that, I was like, oh my gosh, this is fascinating.
Yeah.
It's invisible, but it's definitely there. I feel the difference. So that's when I got further into meditation. I wanted to learn more about what's going on with myself. So I read books about meditation. I started taking meditation classes in a local studio and I met some teachers and I asked them questions like, what am I doing? Like, how do I, you know, become more whatever?
Yeah.
And one day at the studio, I saw the notice on that bulletin board saying, we offer meditation teacher certification.
Uh-huh.
It's starting like next month. So I'm like, wow, I don't think I want to teach meditation, but I would love to deepen my own practice because this has been fascinating. And I'm so curious where this will take me if I further go down and deepen my practice.
How has it changed you? Because your story, the few years I've known you, your story is just grows and grows in adventure and awakening.
It keeps
going. It's fantastic.
So that was about 4 years ago. That was before the pandemic, right before the pandemic. That's when I was taking the teacher training course. And then everything went lockdown, right? Yeah. And we started working from home. I started working from home. And without meditation, I don't think I was able to really handle that period of time as well as I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So in what way? I mean, just, because can you break that down a bit?
When the world is in chaos, if you are paying attention to what's going on outside of you, then you will go crazy. You become chaotic. But by that time, I learned a way to center myself, come back to myself, and being aware of what I was thinking and how my thinking was affecting my emotions and actions. So that was a life changing. That was the game changer.
Yeah.
And from there, not only just to examine what I was thinking, I learned that you can pick and choose what you think.
Yeah.
It's within our control. We don't have to be always like manipulated by somebody else or something else.
Yeah.
we can choose the fast that would serve us. I mean, that was game changer. That was an eye-opening concept to me.
Yeah.
So you can like choose the fast that would empower you rather than, you know, not serve you.
Yeah.
And that's just empowering.
I think it's really empowering, but I also think it's an absolute game changer when you step into the midlife window.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know where to start. But so from the lockdown to where I am today, about 2 years ago, I got laid off from work, the legal industry job that I had.
Right.
And by that time, though, I already knew that industry was not for me anymore.
Right.
It served its purpose and I was wanting to do something else.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what, and I was looking for it, but it was taking me a long time to like find, you know, this is it. This is what I want to do.
Yeah.
But one of the things I've done is to always like educate myself with the topics that I am interested in, and like reading books or by taking classes. And I was listening to Mark Grove's podcast. He is my relationship coach. I've taken his relationship courses.
Right.
And he had Kathy Heller as a guest on his podcast. And that's how I found Kathy. And she was offering a podcasting class. And I had no intention or desire to start a podcast.
Right.
But I wanted to take her class.
Yeah.
And that was the only class that she was offering at that time, two years ago. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sign up.
Yeah.
And even during the class, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to do this, but I am like doing homework weekly. And you remember this, you were in that class.
I remember it well, yes.
In one week, in one of the classes, the homework was to decide a title of your podcast and record a trailer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, am I going to do this just for the sake of doing the homework, or am I actually going to start a podcast?
Yeah.
That was like the defining moment. And I'm like, if I'm going to do a podcast, what am I going to talk about? And first of all, I had so much resistance toward doing a podcast in my second language.
Yeah.
Like I felt like, no, I'm not qualified to do that. Like, who am I to do a podcast in my second language and then talk about what? But from there, when I sat down and meditated for a little while, it just was clear, like, I'm going to talk about meditation. Of course, what else am I going to talk about? It's been the biggest game changer in my life. And I want to share this with as many people as possible because it's going to benefit every single person.
Yeah.
So from there, it's like, okay, let's do the title. Why not meditate? Because that's just straightforward.
Yeah. And a great title. It's very easy, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, I recorded a trailer. And for the whole time, I'm like, am I really going to do this? Am I really doing this?
Yeah.
And I created the cover art, you know, and then decided the title, put the title into that art. And put it on Apple Podcast. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is now a thing. I birthed this into an existence. I did not know if I could do it, but I thought, well, why not?
Yeah.
So whenever I find myself in a like fork on the road, so to speak, moment, like, do I do this or do I not do this?
Right.
You know, there are two ways to take.
Yeah,
to
there's a choice point is what my coach calls it.
Yeah. Whenever I am at that point, I kind of detach myself and then see it from the drone view. Like I see myself standing on the fork on the road and I kind of like foresee what is going to happen if I took the route A or B.
Okay.
So me doing a podcast, okay, that could be fun. So that's one path, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to turn out, but as something unknown, that could be like good.
Yeah.
The other path was not doing a podcast. And I'm like, I've been on that path. I've already experienced it. I know what that's like. And I don't think I need to re-experience that.
That's a great way of looking at it. Yeah, it's like, I've been there and I've done that. So why would I do that again?
Yeah.
Cool.
I would say curiosity has been the thing that's making me, like, inspiring me to go into the unknown and then do the things I never thought I would do.
That's such a growth mindset.
Because don't you want to see? I mean, yeah. If there's a book, like a thick book, and then you are on the chapter 10, and there are like 20 more chapters to go through, like, would you end at chapter 10? Don't you want to turn the page onto chapter 11 and see what happens?
Yeah, seriously. That's such a great way, because how else can you move forward? Because we don't know what lies ahead. You don't know what lies ahead either way the path goes.
No.
Other than there's more chance of getting more of the same.
Yes.
If you choose to choose getting more of the same.
Yeah.
But if you're even curious because you don't want more of the same, as you say, why would you even choose that path?
Yes. And even more exciting thing is the next 20 chapters are not written yet.
Cool. I love right? that. Yeah.
The past 10 chapters, yes, they have been written. You've read that. But the next 20 chapters, chapter 11 has not been written yet. You're just turning the page.
Yeah.
You're writing it as you go. And that's like living on the edge of your consciousness. And that excites me. That frightens me too.
Yeah.
But
I get it. I totally get it.
I just cannot go back to chapter 10 and relive the same chapter over and over again for the next however many years of my life.
So with that mindset, because you've practiced that curiosity muscle, what else have you learned about yourself? Because you keep taking courageous step after courageous step. You're not still in Michigan now, are you? Where have you moved to now?
Oh, so from Michigan, that's when I started my journey in the States. Then lived in Virginia Beach area on the East Coast, and then Madison, Wisconsin, then Chicago. Lived in Chicago for many years. And then about two years ago, not even, we moved down to Florida. That's where I am now. I never wow. thought of living in Florida.
And how'd you find it?
I will phrase it this way. The cycle of appreciation of living in Chicago came to an end.
Okay.
A lot of things.
Fair enough.
That I was attached to, that was attaching me to Chicago, have ended. And it was time to make a change. And I always, like, I guess, had a desire to live close to the water.
Yeah.
And close to the beach. And my daughter loved it when she visited here first. So, cool. Yeah. I moved here without coming here, without visiting here first.
That was crazy. I remember it because we were having conversations within our podcasting group.
Yeah.
And 1 week you were there. And then you were like, well, I've just got to pack up because I'm moving to Florida. We're like, what? And then the next time we spoke to you, which was maybe the next week or maybe 2 weeks, you were like, oh, yeah, you know, I found a flat and I've done this and I'm there and there and there and we found a school. And we're like, oh my goodness, yeah. Like, how do you do that?
It was so scary every time.
Every time it's scary, isn't it?
It's scary. But the good thing is, once you go through that change and jumping into the unknown
yeah.
a few times, you kind of know the drill.
Yeah, right? Fair enough.
It's scary, yep. but it's uncomfortable. It's a lot of work, but it works out at the end, or like somehow it works out.
Yeah.
And once you go through the cycle a few times in your life, you know that it's going to be okay this time too. You yeah. gain self-confidence. You have like evidence that you have collected so far that you can refer to. So yeah, it was uncomfortable. It's still a little bit uncomfortable, but I mean, life is too long to live in one place.
Yeah, fair enough.
I know some people do that. Many people probably do that, but I just cannot picture myself living in the same city or same place for, I don't know, 80 years of my life.
Yeah.
I
No, we
don't
were
know how
saying that
many
before, we
years.
were saying that before we started recording, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, apparently there is some nomadic tendencies to us. It's like, okay, what's the next journey? Let's go.
Every time when I travel, like abroad or like even areas that I've never been to and I like, I picture myself like living there.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I do whenever I travel. Like I picture myself like living in this type of building, doing what, and I kind of like foreshadow what might come.
Right.
And I don't really think about like making plans at that time, but it's kind of imprinted in my subconscious mind.
Yeah, fair enough. It's almost like you're just trying it on.
Yes.
Yeah.
And living in Florida is one of the examples of that. I was talking to somebody like 4 years ago, like possibly like living in a small beach town, that'd be great, blah blah blah. It was very a hypothetical situation,
Yeah.
and I never thought that would be, you know, become a case, but looking back, it did. I mean, I'm like, oh,
Amazing.
I thought about this. We talked about this.
Yeah.
It's a different situation, but yeah, like it's been in my subconscious mind.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Now, one of the other things I want to ask you about, and we talked about this before as well, is stepping into midlife, because you're a little younger than
Yes.
I am, but still in midlife. What are the things that you've found out about yourself that have also changed how curious you are about what's next?
See, I never saw myself in midlife, but since I have met so many amazing women who are embracing the midlife, that really shifted my perspective.
Right.
It was a paradigm shift. I thought midlife was something that you have to endure and survive and then come
Yeah.
out somehow.
Yeah. Lucky if
And
you get through the other side.
right, like I only heard the doom and gloom stories,
Yeah, they're
but
shared too often.
right, like a victimhood almost.
Yeah.
But seeing somebody like you embracing the journey and empowering, it really empowered me. And I see it as like one of the amazing phases of lifetime.
Yeah.
That completely shifted my perspective. I mean, our body is still really young and capable in
Yeah.
mid-age.
Yeah.
And if you're taking good care of your body, then you might be in a better shape now than you were before.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this before, didn't we? And you said you're in better shape now. And also some areas that we were talking about, you've learned so much more about now, because before you were just kind of following the path. I mean, we talked about health,
Yeah.
we talked about sexuality, we talked about money, all of these things. You just kind of followed what you were meant to do, but you've taken real action now to find out more about what it actually means to you.
Yes. So around age 40, I came to a point in life where I felt like I have been living my life haphazardly in like important areas of my life. One was in spirituality,
Yeah.
the other one was sexuality,
Yeah.
and the other one was money.
Yeah.
Like I've kind of like glazed over or lived haphazardly, not really knowing what I was doing, but, you know, somehow managed.
Yeah.
And I felt an urge to really like know like more of the truth of all those three areas. So I searched for the information. That's the amazing thing about technology these days.
Yeah.
Information is available
on
if
everything.
You want to look for it.
Yeah.
And I know Dr. Joe Dispenza says the ignorance is a choice now.
Yeah, there's no getting away from that, is there?
So I searched and read books, and whenever you're ready to learn, your teacher appears from nowhere, seems like. Yeah. So I found some coach. I found sex coach, sex and relationship coach. I also found relationship coach, Mark Groves, I talked about.
Yeah.
And then especially the recent few years, I've been learning about the truth of what's actually happening, what's actually have been happening without me knowing the truth of for example, like military industrial complex. I never knew that. Like
What's
everything
that?
is so the let's say like wars in general are like manufactured for certain groups of people to make money.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough.
I never really like knew that. And I think meditation definitely played a part of me becoming more aware of things in general.
Right.
More discernment
Yeah.
came to me, like looking at things and asking myself, like, is that really true? Even though I believed this was the truth for like most of my life, but what if it's not?
Yes. To start to question things.
Yeah.
As you say, if you question spirituality, you question all the things about finance, because finance is really all money and finance is kind of locked away with a huge intimidation factor of, well, you couldn't be clever enough, smart enough or whatever to really know this.
Yeah.
So you kind of get what you're left with. You get the remnants of what the high street banks may be telling us. And obviously, you know,
right.
That's changing if you choose for it to change. Then same thing with sexuality, so much shame and guilt around talking about it,
oh,
religion's hidden it. So how much do you want to know about that? And, you know, you've got to explore it. Same thing about spirituality, when you really find yourself digging deep into actually who am I, what do I believe, what's important to me, who do I want to learn from?
Yeah.
Again, it's another thing that you can't just believe what you're being told.
No.
You have to question, you have to be discerning, because otherwise you can't take control of any of it within your life.
You cannot take responsibility of your life if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I've lived that way for many years of my life, especially when I lived in Japan. Whatever my dad said, that was the thing.
That was the law.
The law.
Yeah.
That was like both law and religion,
yeah,
almost. And after I left home, I really struggled because I lost the law and religion at the same time. I felt like I needed something. I needed the big daddy to, like, you know, take care of me.
Yeah.
Like emotionally.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know how to believe or what to believe.
Yeah.
So I went through the phases of like becoming Christian. Oh, I grew up as an atheist, so that was a huge jump.
Right.
And like finding something, maybe there's bigger than what is here and now.
Yeah.
The higher power, God, whatever people call it. That was like the biggest jump that I took in spirituality.
Yeah.
And from there, since I had so many Christian friends, I became Christian. But then the organized religion became a little too manipulative.
Right. Okay.
To me.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, you said that God is unconditional love, but at the same time, you're saying, like, I'm disappointing God if I did not stay in this marriage. I mean, that caused more.
How does that work?
That's
contradiction in itself.
I could not just follow, like, blindly, you know, what they're saying. So from there, like, what is spirituality? What is the higher power? All of those things I searched and seeked for, and I reached a certain level of understanding.
Yeah.
And then from there, there's always being another layer of understanding, or maybe unlearning.
Yeah.
Unlearning what I thought that was.
Yeah.
And with the real life experience and emotional maturity and the wisdom that I've gained throughout the experience, things are becoming more and more clear and a little easier in a way for me to discern what's actually like, what sounds true and what doesn't sound true.
Right.
Or what is in alignment, what fits, you know, what feels good.
Yeah.
In every area of life. So like financially, sexually, spiritually, like every area. And I feel that midlife is awesome because you actually have the enough like level of maturity and discernment to be able to know what is actually in alignment with you or not. And you don't always have to go to somebody to find out. You now have the tools within you or outside of you maybe that you can use.
Yeah.
You can rely on yourself. You know enough about yourself. So I am very excited about entering into a midlife. I don't know what actual like cutoff age is, the midlife cutoff age, like from age, you know.
You know what? Just like you said, I think we're empowered enough to make it up. Do you feel like you're in midlife or don't you? Up to you. Right. Choice is yours, you know. Menopause kicks in at different ages. Maybe that's
that's who knows? True.
I'd say, you can decide whether you're in the midlife or you're not, is what I'd say.
Yeah.
Which, again, it just speaks to the whole empowerment of it all, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, if you think you're going to be miserable in your mid-age just because that's what you heard on the news or TV or magazines, then that's what you're going to get.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But don't forget, there are other possibilities. You can be more fit. You can be more, like not physically younger, maybe, but maybe physically younger or in a better shape. And you could be more empowered. You could be stronger. You could be wiser, definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Cool. Now, look, I'm conscious of time, always conscious of time with these. So I'm so grateful that you've shared your story with us, because every time I speak to you and I listen to your podcast, which is called Why Not Meditate, which I will put in the links below, of course, I always learn something new, and there's always a new inspiration. And yeah, it's just an absolute gift. So what's the best way for people to find you so they can tune in to you and also to see some of your beautiful photography work as well? Because that's another thing that you do.
Thank you, Lindsay. I'm on Instagram. That's where you can see my pictures and some of the, I guess, musings that you can call it, at Masakozawa_coaching.
Okay.
And my podcast, like you said, is Why Not Meditate? And it's available everywhere people listen to your podcasts.
Fantastic. And do you have a specific release day or?
I usually release every Friday.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
Fantastic. That's awesome. Okay, so huge, big thank you. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for sharing your story. Lovely, lovely, lovely. And I hope that people are going to come and tune in and listen and learn why they should meditate.
Oh, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. That's why.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you've enjoyed the conversation, please come and leave a review. If you go to the Apple Podcasts app and scroll down to the bottom of the podcast page, and then you'll find the ratings and review section. Please invite your friends to come and listen by sharing the link. And you can join the conversation and let me know who you'd like to hear interviewed and what topics you'd like discussed over at Facebook on the Magical Midlife group. You can also find me on Instagram at Lindsay DeSwart, where the conversation will also continue. I can't wait to see you on the next episode. And once again, keep living your magical midlife.